are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come once again this morning into thy presence, O God, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Father, we just ask that you would take a hold of our thoughts this morning, and may they truly be placed upon thee, for you are our comfort, you are our refuge in time of trouble. Lord, we ask that as we study this wonderful sermon, the spoken word is original seed, that the thoughts and words that your prophet brought out so many years ago, Lord, that we see them coming to pass in this hour. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, in understanding them as they apply to us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to begin reading this morning, if you follow with me, in Revelation chapter 13. We'll begin at verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And remember, Brother Bram taught us that this beast is the United States coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And Brother Branham also said in a sermon on the book of Revelations that a horn means a kingdom. And he taught us also that these two horns were both civil and ecclesiastical powers of the World Council of Churches in the United States. Two horns, two kingdoms, which merge into one nation. And that comes up out of the land where there are no peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. He said that's America. And after a while it says, and he spake as a dragon. So it looked like a lamb in the beginning, that is a young one, not an old ram, but the young lamb that was sprouting two horns. I remember in teaching United States history, a ninth grade class back in 1976, and in our book we had a picture of the United States before 1812, and actually when you looked at the United States before 1812, you had the Texas was the back leg, and then you had Florida was the front leg, and then going up the East Coast you had New York sticking out, and then you had Maine as the horns on the lamb, and it looked just like a lamb. And so you see the United States is represented as a lamb in the scripture, but then after some time it begins to speak like a dragon, and we know the dragon is Satan. And he exercises, verse 12, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. So this one that comes up out of the land exercises the power of the first beast, which was Rome. Now we know the beast of Revelation 17 is the Catholic Church. It is Rome, for Rome has had civil Rome. It ruled the world, and then when it became a two-horned beast, it was now civil Rome and ecclesiastical Rome, and look what it did to the world. 68 million martyrs at her hands. The blood of 68 million people put to death for not accepting her rule. 68 million people who held their own conviction and would not let Rome rule their souls. But now this nation, this power, this beast that comes up out of the land, chapter 13, 13 colonies, 13 stripes, 13 stars in her original flag, 13 olive branches on her coins, and paper money. America began as a young nation looking like a lamb, as a Christian nation, because Christ is a lamb. But after a while, she began to speak like a dragon, which is Satan. It caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So notice, the United States will cause the world to worship the first beast, that's Rome, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, what other nation used television to show the world its power? First, the trip to the moon, broadcast to the entire world, which was fraudulently put together, I believe. Then the wars in Iraq, with all the firepower coming down from the sky in view of the entire world. They called it shock and awe. And it fulfilled the very scripture that we're reading. And notice verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, there's been more deception the past few years than any time in the history of this nation. There's been more scams pulled, and scams keep getting bigger and bigger. It used to be, you know, someone would scam some old lady out of $50 and he'd go to jail for it. Now, you know, the scams went to millions, and then they went to billions under, I don't remember the guy's name, but $50 billion. Well, now we find that our Treasury, working together, and of course, all the men that have been head of our Treasury Department have all come out of Goldman Sachs. So they're all in cahoots with the big money that was taken out. And, you know, there's a graph you can see that in the first 200 years of this nation had only printed 800 and some billion dollars total. That's it in the first 200 years. Then in the next year, it went under Bush, they printed another 1.7 trillion, not billion, trillion. And so the graph goes straight up like this. And since then, there's been another something like $8 to $13 trillion printed on top of that. So you're looking at a figure that's like 200 years like this, and then all of a sudden, boom. Where'd the money go? Nobody knows where it went. The people that cause the problems, not the victims, but the people who cause the problems, got paid all this money. The victims haven't got a cent. Well, it sounds just like the Catholic Church. Whenever they found out that there was a little boy here, a little boy there, a little boy here, a little boy there, maybe 30, 40 in one parish alone, well, they just shut down the parish. They said, we don't have any money to pay them. That's what they've done all over the world. So you see the scams are just popping up all over the place, deceitfulness. We are living in a time that's very treacherous, very deceitful. Just hold on to your money, folks. Don't just be very careful because everybody's out to get it from you. Well, anyway, so we've, since the time of Richard Nixon and Watergate, the deception has increased exponentially from president to president. It's interesting that this nation will deceive other nations, the Bible tells us, because this nation or its people are also victims of deception this past presidential election. When there were only two choices given, neither one was a natural born citizen. You know that? McCain was born in South America someplace, and Obama was born in Kenya. You talk to any person in Kenya, even the believers in Kenya. I've talked to many of them over there. They all say that the government, everybody knows that Obama was born in Kenya. And at least McCain had an excuse because his parents were on military service, and he was actually born in a U.S. base, U.S. military base in a hospital overseas. But so there's law that says that he's a natural born citizen because of that, but neither one was born in the United States. The deceitful thing is that the very first act in office that this president did was to seal all of his records. Now, no president in the history, 234-year history of this nation, ever did such. When a man tries to hide his past, it shows he's worried about the truth coming out. As a public figure, his life is supposed to be an open book, not a sealed one. So that tells you there's deception and treachery as well. And then the scripture goes on, it says, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, what is that image to the beast? Now, think about that. We know that's the United States. This power that comes up, this lamb, you know, which is a beast, or this beast that comes up out of the land. It says that we should make an image to the beast. Now, who was the first beast? It was Rome. And what was Rome? It was a world power, right? It was a world order. And so, what is the United States doing? It's creating a new world order. You see, that's the image. It wants to do the same thing. All right? Now, we know the beast is Rome. And it says, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And the beast is Rome, and the sword that wounded her was the sword of the Lord. The Word of God, which had placed into the hands of every person interested in knowing the Word of God by men like Zwingli, Luther, Wycliffe, different languages, and those Bibles in the hands of the common man cut the Romish church power because it could not induce them anymore to their superstitious nonsense and keep them in bondage any longer. And once the people had the word of God in their hands, they said, the just shall live by faith. They said, nonsense to your purgatory, nonsense to your penance, nonsense to your paying avenas, or what do they call those things? I don't remember anymore. No avenas. Excuse me. All right. Verse 15, and he, the beast, out of the earth, the United States, had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So it isn't the image of the beast, but it's giving power to the image of the beast. The image of the beast is that new world order. Now, don't you suppose that the image of the beast, which is a replica of the Roman dominion, would be the new world order, which is the brainchild of the CFR? And other rich men who are pushing for it so that the U.S. can need it? I remember talking to my sister one time, and she said, well, I'm not against the New World Order if the United States controls it. Don't you realize that that's right out of Scripture? That it is the United States that's pushing it to control it? And Britain as well. You know, the hierarchy, the monarchy in Britain is working together with the United States. As Webster Tarpley, who's a very good historian, and he said it's basically the same old thing. You have the monarchy, British monarchy, and you have the United States working together to push this. And if the world knew that this new world order is really a resurgence of the British order, they would refute it. They would stand against it. You see, because it wouldn't include them. It's basically the same old thing that went on for years. But anyway, it says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now listen, Rome had no military power, never did. She has always used and relied upon the military might of other nations to do her bidding for her. And an image is not the original itself, but a copy of the original. The image is something like the first. So this nation, which becomes the image of Rome, exercises all the power of papal Rome before her. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for its number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Well, Brother Branham told us that the mark of the beast is in the hand and in the forehead. In other words, it's denominationalism. And it's in the mind, you see, and in the actions. Now, this morning, I'd like to further examine Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed, and we're going to pick up at paragraph 8. Where he said, all right, I predict that the two denominational groups, Pentecostal and evangelical groups, will work together in a denomination, will unite themselves together, and will become a member, all of them, of the Federation of the Council of Churches, or the Council of Churches. They already belong to it, all of them. And there will come forth through them a forcing or a boycott that'll stop everything but what belongs to that union of churches. Now, I don't like the idea of forcing. Never have. The Holy Spirit has the nature of a dove, and you must have the nature of a lamb. Because only those two natures can come together and live in harmony. And churches or ministries that use force to get their way are not of God. That is not God's way of doing anything. God is not a forcer. He just tells you the way it should be, and he leaves it up to you to either believe it or not believe it. He doesn't try to put a square peg in a round hole. You see? That is simply sowing and reaping. You sow for what you get. The seed you plant is what comes up. But it's interesting that we're now looking at a boycott in Arizona by not only large cities like Los Angeles and Chicago and New York, but the Catholic Church has jumped into the fray and are pushing a boycott as well. And now the new Pope, Benedict XVI's third papal encyclical, which was made public on the eve of the next G8 summit, that is to take place in Italy, and these are the nations, the nations will meet to create changes for governing the world's finances. In this papal encyclical, he proposes a new world financial order. Now think about that. So he's actually tying into this, saying, okay, we're going to have a new world order. It's going to be, let's call it a new world financial order. And he demands sweeping reforms of the global financial system, declaring that the nations must work for the common good, and they must be guided by morality. And he confirmed the traditional support of the Catholic Church for the role of trade unions, which is the common good, he would say, while urging nations to protect migrants, to safeguard the ecological health of the planet, and to lower the consumption of energy. What he's saying is the big bad guys have made it such that the nations like Africa and South America have gone into poverty, and that's what's caused the migrations to take place. Well, that may be somewhat true, but the Catholic Church didn't help any, stripping little Pedro of all of his pesos so he could buy a candle to earn his way into heaven. You know, saying his novenas and those kind of things like Brother Branham brought up. And as the, when Brother Branham went to Mexico, I don't remember who it was. I think the church stepped up and they said, well, you can't have this man here. He just preaches to all these ignorant people. And so the head of the military, the general, he said, well, who made him ignorant? He said, you've had him for hundreds of years and they're still ignorant. Why is that? You see? Well, that's what they want. They want to create a society where you have only certain people that are bred basically to lead, and the rest of the people are just bred to be worker bees. And you see it's cropping up in every country. They've completely destroyed the middle class in this country and in Britain. You go to Britain and it's just poverty. It's just the same as here. They're getting to the place where they're trying to keep the people down, trying to keep them from getting an education, trying to keep them from moving ahead. They're cutting out all their opportunities to get ahead, and they're making laws as such. And that's just this whole new world financial order is all about. Well, he calls on the United Nations to create new regulations for the world financial markets, and he criticizes unregulated exploitation of the markets and the environment. So what they're doing is they're getting ready to get this paper together, and he's been working on this encyclical for 2 years. And they said the reason why he didn't put it out 2 years ago is because they've been watching the things unfold, and so he's added some of that. And it's like 140 some page encyclical. But basically he's saying, look, there's got to be a moral supremacy, or there's got to be a moral order to this new world order. And so we propose, of course, we step in and do that for you. You know, we be the moral and the ethics guide, the influence, and basically they're wanting their cut of the pie is what they're doing. He called the present worldwide economic crisis clear proof of the pernicious effects of sin in the marketplace. And he argued to be sustainable, economic policies must be rooted in a comprehensive vision of human welfare, including spirituality. So you see they're coming together. Now remember that the first G5 that they had, the sixth signer on that was the Vatican Secretary of State. They're the ones that coordinated these G meetings. And they went from 5 to 6 to 7 to 8. So we see the Pope is now pushing for what he calls a higher moral influence in financial markets, while on the other hand reaffirming the commitment of his church to the unions, which seems to me to be the lowest moral influence. So how can you have your cake and eat it too? And what I do not understand is that here is a church that has denied millions of claimants to financial retribution due to the act of their employees, the priests, who destroyed the lives of millions of children around the world. Then when the children finally find out that there's some lawyers out there that'll take up their case, and they go and they try to sue the church says, well, we don't have the money in this parish. The parish is going to fold up anyway. And so they fold the parish up. The people can't get their money because the money's in Rome. As Brother Branham said, you go there, you couldn't buy for $1 billion. This church, who has shown no remorse, is not having stopped their pedophile priests from engaging in their pedophilia. They would just switch them from church to church, from parish to parish, so they could continue their acts, are now claiming moral higher ground in financial matters. I mean, is this a joke? The problem we're facing is this new world in this world is the financial markets is the same thing as the church did in protecting their priests and denying the victims of child abuse by them. In other words, the same thing the Catholic Church did, basically finding ways to worm around and not pay the victims, is the same thing that our government did. We have all these big banks and things that basically foreclosed on the mortgages. They stolen, like, who was the one that stole all those people's pensions, you know, years ago, a few years back? And then what does the government do? They reward them. And they give them more. They give them money to bail them out. Bail them out from what? They're the ones that stole all the money. But we see the same ethics, low, degenerate ethics in the Catholic Church as we see in the Jews running Wall Street. And so, you know, here's the Pope standing up there like some great holy man, which he isn't. And he's calling out the Jews and saying, well, they don't have the ethics. We've got to show them how to have the ethics. I'm sure the Jew sits back and says, the pot can't call the kettle black. So we see the same thing with our Congress, rewarding the large, too-big-to-fail banks for creating a system of fraud that destroyed the lives of millions of people whose pensions have all but disappeared. So instead of bailing out the pension, they bail out those who stole them. Instead of paying off all the mortgages, which they could have done easily, they paid back the guys who hold the mortgages. Doesn't make any sense to me. And Brother Brown continues in saying, that's what the Bible said, that there would be a boycott, even to such a way that it would cause people to not buy or sell unless they had received this, the mark of the beast, which is Romanism, and the image of the beast, which is Protestantism. That's the image. The beast had power, authority to give the life, the image life to speak, and it did. And that's the confederation of churches when they confederate themselves together. Now remember, you have the two horns, the ecclesiastical horn and the civil horn, the United Nations, and you have the World Council of Churches. And when they come out of the same head, New York, which is in this country. And they bring those two together, you see, because the New World Order without a church, a New World Order church, won't work. So what the Catholic Church now is pushing in this encyclical is, hey, we've got to have a moral order. Not just a New World Order, but let's make it a New World, you know, not just a New World Financial Order, but a New World Financial Order that has a moral and a spiritual aspect to it. Let's complete the picture, guys. You see? And who's giving them power to do so? Well, who houses the United Nations? Who houses the World Council of Churches? Brother Brown continues in saying, that's what the Bible said, that there would be a boycott, even to such a way it would cause people to not buy or sell unless they had received this, the mark of the beast, which is Romanism, and the image of the beast, which is Protestantism. The beast had power, authority to give the image, life to speak. And it did. And that's a confederation of churches when they confederate themselves together. Now there's many people here, I don't know, Jesus may come this afternoon, he may come next year, I don't know when he will be coming. But remember, if I do not live to see that day of his coming, which I hope that I will, and somehow I believe I will. Now, if I do not see it, do not let this word ever depart from your heart. See, just remember, I speak in the name of the Lord. Now, I believe with all my heart, that's the way it's going to wind up. There will be like a union, a boycott. All such places as this here will be closed down. And you'll not be able to speak unless you got permission or a license from this federation of churches to hold a service. Therefore, we're looking at a stern warning of a vindicated prophet here. That the world financial system will come to a crisis. And when he said, watch the union come back into power and strength. And that is what we've seen when the government stealing General Motors away from its shareholders. They fired the president. They had no authority to do so. And then they redistributed the ownership away from the shareholders who put their money in there to buy the stock to keep the company going. And they gave it to the unions. Redistributed the ownership to the unions. And they broke their ability to make profit in the first place. It was unions. So you see how the unions are coming back into power. Who would have ever thought it? But surely this is Chicago politics, where the unions prevail. From the second seal, Brother Ramsey, now he gets into a place till he's going to make a universal church power, taking religious power. And do you not understand, my brothers, that when the nation appears in the 13th chapter of Revelation, this little animal raised up like a lamb, and it's got two horns, civil and ecclesiastical power, but he's done the same thing the beast did before him. It's strange. America is number 13 and a woman. And strange that it appears even in the 13th chapter of Revelation. We started out with 13 stripes in the flag, 13 stars, 13 everything, 13, 13, 13 all the way down, and everything's woman, woman, woman all the way down. And from Jezebel religion, which he preached right over here in Middletown, he said, did you notice in Revelation 13, all the other beasts had come up out of the sea, the waters? Revelation 17:7 said, the waters which thou sawest is thickness and multitudes of people. All the other beasts, they come up out of the water, the thickness and multitudes of people. But when the United States come up, it come up out of the earth where there was no people. And remember, when it come up, it looked like a lamb, a little lamb. Now, a lamb has two horns, and that's civil and ecclesiastical powers. But when they've come, when they've united, now this is the key, when they've united, remember, then that lamb spoke like a dragon did before him, and the dragon was Rome. When the dragon stood before the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born, the red dragon, who stood before the woman, Israel, to devour the child as soon as it was born, and sent out a persecution to kill all the children for 2 years old and down, Rome, the dragon, stood at the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born. And from the token, Brother Branson, the reason I've chosen this today, a Thanksgiving Day, a celebration for its celebration day. That's our pilgrim forefathers that God blessed to come over here to start a nation. And they did, and a mighty nation. He's actually preaching on Thanksgiving Day. It stands above everything in the world today in all of its corruption, but it has to fall. It never did get big. According to the scripture, it never did get old. It was a youth, a lamb. The lamb then spake like a dragon before him. It come up out of not the waters, thickness, multitudes, and people, but it come up out of the earth. So we find out that the lamb had two horns, which was civil and ecclesiastical power, of course. And they go together now to speak like a dragon, form an image to the beast, and we still have the freedom of worshiping God in this nation. So basically, he's saying, right now we still have the freedom, but one day we're not going to have it. That's what he's saying there. Now from Broken Cisterns, just a few more quotes here. He said, it's a strange thing that this United States appears on the scene. It's like a lamb, and a lamb has two horns, civil and ecclesiastical rights. And after a while, when that was a lamb, we found out that it spoke then like a dragon and exercised all the power of the dragon had before it. And the Bible tells us that they said, let us make an image under the beast. An image is something like something else. And we can see right now that it's an apostate condition. The church is forming the World Council of Churches, which is the image to the power of Rome, and will force upon the people the same thing that Papal Rome did. So there's no other way, no other thing. But that is the truth. And that's why I'm striking it in my age, in my time, is because it's got to be struck at. The call come out of her, my people, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. And from Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Branham said, did you notice the United States is number 13 in everything that it does? You know it was established in 13 colonies. You know the flag had 13 stars in its first. You know everything that the United States does is number 13. Did you know it appears in the Bible, Revelation 13? It certainly does. The little beast, the lamb that come up out of the water, not thickness and multitudes of people, not out of the water, but out of the land where there is no water. It had two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical power, and it was a lamb, freedom of religion. And after a while, they went together and they spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power of Rome before them. That's coming to our nation. You mark it down, you watch for the Confederation of Churches and the Catholic Unite Together, and watch what takes place. People who follow the pillar of fire will certainly have a rough time, but they're ready for the translation at that time. That's right. Just ready to go. For the Lamb overcome them, said the Bible, and them that followed him, because they were called the chosen and faithful, the elected of God. Keep from getting on to that prophecy now so we can run on this. So Brother Branham said, we're going to have a rough time. I didn't say how. But the whole nation's actually having a rough time. The whole world is having a rough time. But he did say they're going to close down the churches. From end time evangelism, he said, when I stood not long ago in Switzerland and I was talking, a woman said, we want to come over to America so we can have freedom like the women there. I told them what they did. No, they said, we don't want that, see, but it's America. We could go back and show that right here, that that's supposed to be in this nation that comes up where there's two waters, no people. Comes up like a lamb, got two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical power, but they unite together through political powers. A new president we got, bringing in Rome again. And I don't know if he's actually speaking of Kennedy or the new president at the time. Brings us back to Rome again, but we're certainly looking at those things taking place right now. And from Restoration of the Bride Tree said, and don't the Bible say in Revelation 13 that this nation's number is 13? It's got 13 stripes, 13 flags, 13 stripes in the flag, 13 everything is 13, 13 colonies, 13 everything. And it's found in the 13th chapter of Revelation. And the Bible said that she would come up like a little lamb, freedom of religion, two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical. And after a while, they united, and he spoke like a dragon did and done everything the dragon did before him. And the Bible said that they made an image under the beast, the confederation of churches, just what they got right now in New York City. And there was a great big morgue up there. And all you Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and everything, every one of you economical, and then he pauses, ecumenical people out there trying to do things as that and selling your birthright to join that bunch of Babylon. What's the matter with you? Sure, selling your birthright like Esau did for a mess of pottage. That's all you're going to get. That's all. Forming an image of the beast. Exactly. Don't you fear communism. You fear Catholicism. And I don't think Brother Bram was actually making a blunder or a mistake when he said economical, and then he paused. He said ecumenical. I think he meant both. Because he said, otherwise he wouldn't have said you sold your birthright for a mess of pottage. That's economical. And, of course, from why we're not a denomination, he said, and now notice, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Her wine is what she was giving out, her stimulation. We are the church. We're the ones that's got it, see? Now, just draw that into your mind now, all right? So he carried, like the angel told John, I will show you this judgment that's coming to this great church. Now watch, so he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. Scarlet, in the Bible, represents loyal. The color scarlet means red, and the beast represents power. And did you notice the beast comes up out of the sea? That was the Revelation 13. And when you see the beast coming up out of the sea, it meant that this power was raising up among the people. That's Revelation 17. But in Revelation 13, when this lamb came up, he came up out of the earth, no people, United States. But then after he had two little horns, civil and ecclesiastical powers, and then he received power to speak like the dragon did before him. So you just mark it down. We are coming into a religious persecution with the same thing that they did in pagan Rome many years ago, for it's thus saith the Lord. Now what is it? It's setting upon a beast of power. So thus saith the Lord, we are coming into a religious persecution with the same things that they did in pagan Rome years ago. Are you ready for it? If we do perchance see any of it before the tribulation, are you ready? To be? I mean, I know you get persecuted, especially you women do, for the way you dress. But are you ready to lose your jobs because of your belief? Are you ready to lose your homes? Are we ready to be kicked out of places like this? And from the unchangeable word of God, Revelation 13 said this nation wouldn't live very long. Anyhow, you know that the little lamb raised up and never did become a ram like the rest of them. It died in its youth. That's right. When the ecclesiastical power and civil powers met together with those two little horns of the ram, then united church and state, and we're almost doing it right now. It's just depending on which way the waves blow when they have another election. And we're almost at it right now. Just let it go ahead. So, brother, sister, just let it go. Nothing you can do about it. Don't get out there and protest. Don't get out there and, you know, just live your life. Get ready. Make sure that you're ready to go home anytime. We're still in the springtime. rapture could still take place this spring. I'm hoping for it, believing for it. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus Christ will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming, or the parousia, of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, you know, a trump is a horn. And when the horn blasts, it's time to go. Well, the lamb has two horns, but they are nothing compared to the trump that God has come down with. And so we have a trump also, a trumpet, and that's a horn, the horn of God. And he's going to call us one of these days to that great gathering. So finally, in 2 Thessalonians 2:1, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, either by a spirit, nor by a word, nor by a letter as from us, as at that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, once the Holy Ghost is taken out of the way, then it all just takes place. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his parousia, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning hath chosen you to, to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory, the doxa, the opinion, the assessment, the values of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, our and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, every good word and work. And finally, Brother Branham says from angel of the Lord, he said, now the word of the little lamb that rose up in the Revelation 13, a little horn, civil ecclesiastical power, but after his lamb, a freedom of religion and so forth, but after a while, he spake like a beast, like the dragon, and exercised all the power the dragon did before him, a bitter religious persecution. We're nearing that time. You remember, church, that you're living in the best day that you ever will live in right now, until Jesus comes. It shall gradually, not gradually, but rapidly get worse and worse. When Russia goes down there to get that oil, then look out. That's all she needs. That's what the prophet said it would do, and we're ready for it then. So church, get ready to meet Christ. He's sending great revivals and meetings and stirring the full gospel people, signs and wonders appearing everywhere, great wonders to draw his people together, and one day he shall come, the deliverer. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we hear these stern warning of what's coming down. We can see it actually taking place. And as your prophet said back then, they were living in the best time they would ever have, because from that point on until the coming of the Lord, it would just get worse and worse and worse. And not only gradually, but he said it would actually quite dramatically when you think about it. And so, Lord, we see it. It's just coming to the point where it's doubling, times double, it seems every year. There's just double times double the problems that we had the year before. So, Lord, we ask that you would deliver us. We pray that you would deliver us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.